Welcome to the Lights, Camera, Rant Podcast. Your source for the latest on movies, TV shows, and video games. Get ready for ranting, raving, and reviewing. Here is your host, Lee.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to... I think I just realized my mic was turned off that first part, but that's all it is. I'll fix it up. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, as mentioned, we've got a massive episode this week. We've got, as I mentioned, we've got news about Watch Dogs, Peacemaker reboot, the Oscars, Halo, the Super Mario movie, and a whole lot more. And that's all coming up for this episode. But unfortunately, I have to say, this episode does start with a very sad news. Unfortunately, in the past week, Akira Toriyama, the godfather of Dragon Ball Z, has passed away. Dragon Ball entirely has passed away. And I would also like to say thank you very much for the Game Junction from Random Come Past on the Twitch chat. Thank you for coming past, man. Man, you're really struggling with that OBS. I'm not using OBS. I told you that. but yes, in the past week, unfortunately, Akira Toriyama, rest his soul. Our best wishes go out to his pets, his family, his friends, everyone, for all the lives that he has touched. Unfortunately, he's, he created something, Dragon Ball Z, parts of Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Super, has touched so many people, so many lives, and has inspired so many people of new shows, new animations. It's, it took over people's childhoods, gym fanatics, kids, scream and you get more powerful. Goku is a hero. The stories, the legends, everything involved. And when I woke up and saw the fact that was, as soon as I opened Instagram, I saw it and I thought, wow, shit, that's about sad part of the day. That's not how I want to start my day. That's not how I thought this week was going to go. But it is. And as Brand says, very sad news. This one does hurt. It does. I was very shocked when I was reading it. The last time I saw a death that I looked at and I thought, oh, my God, was Robin Williams, Carrie Fisher, Alan Rickman. Those are all one of the top ones that I look at and go, oh, damn. Because it's part of your childhood. And, seeing that opening thing and how many lives he's touched is just, astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. And seeing all the tweets, seeing all the love coming out for him. And Mr. Mark My Words on the YouTube chat, thanks for coming past, man. Appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed. He was on for a longer holiday than I was, but I was away last weekend, which is why this episode is coming out a little bit later. He was 68 or 69 when he passed away. So it's at that age. But, if he could see all the love that's been poured out for him right now, I'm sure he'd be smiling. And I remember waking up before school, watching Cheese TV for Australians, and seeing Goku turn Super Saiyan for the very first time. And I thought that was so exciting. That was mad. That was so cool. And then going to school and talking about everyone, what's going to happen next, what's going to happen with Frieza, and then the Cell Saga, Majin Buu. Then we get the horrible Dragon Ball Evolution. And then just when you think there's going to be nothing more, we get Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods, a brand new movie. And then we get Resurrection F. And then we get the brand new one with Gohan, with new transformation. We get Dragon Ball Super and so much more. And then we do have Dragon Ball Dogma, I think it's called, which I'm a bit like, iffy about. But it's not, it's very sad. But as mentioned, all my best wishes go out to his friends, his family, and his pets. It's not how I want to start an episode like this, but we have to pay our respects to a great man who's given us such a big, big thing that's impacted so many lives. So, R.I.P. Akira Toriyama. Now, let's get into something a little bit more uplifting, and get more into this episode. So, we all know for a little while that Ape announced just about a month that Sea of Thieves is coming to PlayStation on April 30th. Now, when this was announced, there was no pricing. Now we do have the pricing structure. Now, I'm a little bit gutted about this. I'm a little bit gutted, probably not a word. It's a little bit surprised for a pricing for a six-year-old game. Like, I understand what they're trying to achieve, but a six-year-old game, the standard edition is $60. It's flat. I was like, I thought it might be a little bit cheaper, more like near the $40 mark. And then you'd have, the upgrade versions, the bigger packs, but the standard version will at least be less. But unfortunately, it's not. So the standard version is $60. Then you get a mid-tier one, which is $75. It gives you a whole bunch of skins for your boat and for yourself. And then we've got the very top tier, which is $100, which is the premium edition, which gives you everything and also gives you a shit ton of in-game currency. It also lets you access 5 days earlier when it drops, which to me, I might purchase the $100 one, but at the same time, like, nah. I wish the stand one was a little bit cheaper. Sea of Thieves, not on Nintendo Switch, and this cost, count me out. The pricing structure, I understand the mid-tier and the high-end. Got it. Yep, I get it. That's what you're doing. That's how you make money. But the standard version, I believe, should be a lot cheaper for a six-year-old game coming out. But I know people are going to pay it. There's a whole bunch of PlayStation people that will pay this because it's finally coming on to PlayStation. Am I going to be buying it? Yes. Which tier it's going to be, I don't know yet. But, yeah, I think it's a little bit highway robbery for a six-year-old game to be $60 at launch. But I would love to know, are you going to be picking up Sea of Thieves? Are you going to be playing it? And which tier are you willing to purchase? That's the big question. Now, this is something that is a little bit controversial, and it's been debated for a very long time. Now, Zack Snyder, obviously directed and made Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. Now, we got a gritty, old Bruce Wayne Batman with Ben Affleck, which, yes, he does kill in that movie in a warehouse scene, which was terrific. Now, a big debate about that was, Batman kills. Now, obviously, we know the big thing about Batman, he does not kill. Whatever, that's a binding principle of his entire character. Now, Zack Snyder did go recently appear on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he said the fact that because Batman doesn't kill, that makes his character a little bit irrelevant and almost godlike. The fact that, you can't put him in situations like that, or you can't use him like that because of how it's shown to go. But the thing is, it's different for every single character. I'm like, it's Batman. The whole point of Batman doesn't kill is because of what happened to his parents. Not everybody has that same principle. It's different. It's like the funding binding in his character. And I don't think it breaks anything less about the character. It doesn't make anything less. And T on Twitch, thanks for coming past, man. Appreciate jumping in. Good to see you. And if anyone, definitely go check out Who's Got the Next Game podcast. They just dropped an episode last week. I've appeared on their show. They've come onto our show twice. Great podcast, great bunch of guys, and you need to go check them out 110%. And it's going back to Zack Snyder, that the man has weird choice of words and weird ideals, but the thing is, in every Batman, yes, there is also a debate that, you know, Michael Keaton killed, Christian Bale killed, but at the same time, it's not, you know, it's not brought to light that he killed. You could see in Batman v Superman, he straight up murdered those people. And it doesn't take anything less from the character that you put him in those situations. It's still the whole point is the fact that Batman finds a way to go into a situation and be able to survive without killing everybody, or killing the bad guys. But you know, every Batman you can look at, you know, even Val Kilmer probably killed. You know, you'd see it all, but it's not highlighted that he murdered them as much as Batman v Superman. But he still tries to do his best. And the fact you have this brutal character that goes in these situations and does not kill. But the whole point is the fact he doesn't kill because of what happened to his parents. So I disagree with Zack Snyder and say that it doesn't make Batman irrelevant. It just makes Batman more human in these situations, the fact that he doesn't kill. That's the whole, you know, whole point. And because the previous movies didn't bring it to light, it's not brought up a whole lot on, you know, the other ones killed. But the fact that he's has done it. But it was just when I was listening to the podcast, I was a bit like, yeah, I don't know about that. I don't. Interesting take, but I don't. Yeah, he had a couple of interesting takes. He also said, I think, that apparently Rebel Moon apparently had more viewers or made more money than Barbie. And I'm like, I think you're... I don't think you're right. I think you're inflating this a bit much. Not to mention your director's cut for that movie is about 3 hours long and we still need a part two. So, yeah. And I was more curious to know what the difference would be, but I'd love to know if you've watched Rebel Moon and what did you think of it? Now, in the past week, we got the brand new trailer for Fallout, which is dropping on April the 11th. We are going to be reviewing that. And one of the best things about the fact that, yes, this is going to be on Amazon, we're getting all episodes are dropping, which is an absolute win. I love the fact that it's going to be, it's very refreshing compared to watching Disney Plus shows or Paramount. We're watching Halo right now, where it's episode by week, by week, by week. I'm glad they're doing a whole episode dump on this. I think it's fantastic. And not to mention, there was in conversations, is that this also confirmed that Fallout 5 is currently in the works because they didn't want any Fallout 5 elements in the show when they were making it. So this will have no connection to Fallout 5 and just Fallout series. But the new trailer looks so crisp. The aesthetics, the environment, the CGI, it all looks really good. And look, if it continues the trend of video games going to movies to TV shows, same as The Last of Us, same as Twisted Metal, this has to be an absolute winner coming around. And I think a season 2 and 3 would have to be greenlit without a shadow of a doubt. And you know, watching these the three L boys on the YouTube chat. Morning, Lee. Have you watched Shogun yet? I haven't watched Shogun yet. It is on my list to watch. And that's it. For me, it's just amazing the fact that show has nearly perfect 10, perfect 10, perfect 10 on nearly every single rating. How good that show has been. And all the reviews for it, it is on my list. I need to watch it and I need to review it. But it is on my list. So a review will be coming soon. But yeah, Fallout, get new seasons. If it's a surefire fit, it's going to do really, really well. And I just can't see this bombing, especially when it's got Christopher Nolan's brother also directing 2 episodes and help writing. And he has recently said in an interview the show is not to pan to everybody. They just went into this to make a solid show from start to finish. But that is right around the corner. That looks great. Fallout 5 is confirmed. Shogun is amazing. I know. I need to. It's on my list. And Brandon from Game Junction podcast has also said that I need to watch it. I will get to it right now. I've got to get through Halo. And then I'll jump in the Shogun and get a review, and it will be right around the corner. Now, this is interesting and a little bit weird. So James Gunn has gone on record to say that Peacemaker Season 2, which has been confirmed, will start shooting after Superman Legacy. That's what he's going to be diving into. However, it's slightly getting rebooted, if you will. So Season 2 is DCEU James Gunn era canon when Season 1 isn't. But Season 2 is a sequel to Season 1. So when you go to watch this, Season 2 will be set in the new DC, but Season 1 kind of doesn't count. So technically it's a reboot, a sequel, in a way, how it's going to work. But somehow that's, yeah, I was reading it and my mind was just like, I'm okay. Yeah, sure, if that suits you. But yeah, that's, yeah, okay, that's how it's going to work. So how to confuse your audience 101. Also, Super Mario fans, be very happy to know that thanks to March 10th, Mario Day, Super Mario Movie 2 has been obviously greenlit. It's currently in the works of Illumination and it's been set for April 2026. So it will be coming in 2 years' time. Now, there's not many plot details, but we know from the little cutscene at the end, this is to deal with Yoshi. But I have no doubt it's going to make a shit ton of money once again. Will it live up to the same as the first one with Jack Black and Bowser? How that's all going to work, but I have no doubt he's going to make coin. But set your dates, April 2026, Super Mario Movie 2. Also, this is interesting. So Watch Dogs is obviously a video game series. It's had an up and down experience in the lifespan of games on the type of games it has. Some of it good, some of it bad. But happy to know that the Watch Dogs movie is currently in the works. Now, there is very little news to it. So who's directing, who's acting, or when it will be released. If it's currently in works at the moment, I'm predicting probably 2027 at the least. But, you know, if you are Watch Dogs fans, you're going to love the fact that Watch Dogs movie is currently in the works and it is coming. How soon is the million-dollar question, but you're happy to know that, you know, if you're a fan of the franchise, how it's going to look, it's definitely going to be live action. That we do know. How it's going to look and how it's going to work is the million, is how, yeah, how it's going to live up to. And will Watch Dogs movie also live up to the hype of, again, this renaissance, I don't know how to put it, of the fact that video games going to movies, TV shows, and just smashing it out of the park. Now, I'd also like to remind everybody that Star Wars Battlefront Classic is currently dropping this week on March 14th, and I will be picking up this as soon as it comes out. I can't wait for this. First two games, all DLC, online play, Galactic Conquest is coming out. It is dropping, so definitely make your purchase. Only $40 off the PSN store, so not ridiculous, but definitely looks like a lot of fun, and I can't wait to pick this up. Also, okay, so let's get into the Oscars. So a couple of the Oscars predictions I made definitely came true. Christopher Nolan winning Best Director for Oppenheimer. Cillian Murphy is Best Actor. Robert Downey Jr. is Best Supporting Actor. Emma Stone for Best Actress. Ryan Gosling did Ken, which was just, does the Ken song, which is just hilarious, was fantastic. And Slash was there. That was on point. And also, the dancers were also from Barbie. So they all the Cans also came back for this. So that was awesome. John Cena presenting Naked. Yes, John Cena presenting Naked. That was funny. I wasn't expecting that. but okay. Stress the fact he's doing costume design, so that was really funny. The fact he was doing that, but you know, something different. Each their own. But again, it's John Cena. He knows how to make something funny and do a good surprise. The Oscars wouldn't be the Oscars without something going wrong. Now, remember last year with La La Land, the best picture, someone read out the card wrong, stuffed everything up, and it was just a schmozzle. And if you go back and watch that, which I didn't really realize, is that you just see everyone's reaction going, oh, my God. Oh, no, it's terrible. Like, you just, like, someone's been murdered on stage. That's how bad it looked. How bad it looked for all of that. So again, we have a situation with Al Pacino, who is coming out to give the best picture. And again, if someone told him to wrap it up or hurry up or just don't worry about saying the nominees, but he literally just opened the card and went, oh, look, Oppenheimer. And yeah, so I don't know if that's someone who's told him that or he stuffed that up entirely, but he didn't want to name nominees. He was like, no, I'm just telling everybody the winner. Stuff everybody. And Oppenheimer winning Best Picture was the best. That was my prediction with everything else that came out last year. You know, Barbie, Ken, that still got a light to shine at the Oscars, but Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr., Emma Stone, Christopher Nolan, they all deserved it. Yeah, last year was an absolute massive year for film, and some of them were just fantastic and well deserved all of this. Now, there was one other thing. And Danny DeVito and Arnie and Michael. I was supposed to say Michael Caine. Michael Keaton with the Batman segment. Oh fuck, that was so funny. I loved it. And just him like, come on, you want to go? That was a really good, that was probably the one I was laughing the most at, was that scene. But now this caused a slight uproar. And I understand why it happened. I understand why people were annoyed. So also Godzilla won Best Visual Effects, which I think is the first time in 14 years or 13 years Marvel has won one. But Godzilla minus one was well deserved best animation. Best visual effects was well deserved. Now, this is probably the biggest upset from the whole thing, was best animated movie. Now, for me, the best animated movie would have been Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. That would have been an absolute choice. However, The Boy and the Heron won instead. That won the best animated movie of the year. And looking at the movie, I can understand why. And I think people misconception on best animated movie. It doesn't mean the best animated, animated movie, like this movie was animated. No, it's just animated movie. And that's so instead of just best animated movie in general, not how it was animated. Yes, the best animation out of all the films is Into the Spider-Verse. That is without a shadow of doubt. But best animated movie as a whole went to The Boy and the Heron, which was understandable. Now, obviously, a lot of people are upset about that. I've just been seeing robbed, jibbed. We want to recount all of that. So, and I understand why, but look, when you compare the two films, I haven't seen it. I watched just a quick little thing about it, and it's understandable why it won. And look, Spider-Man Into Spider-Verse has a lot more awards with it. It's won a lot more hearts. It's done extremely well. So you got to take where you take the wins and take the losses. If you want to make it any feel bad, have a look at Bradley Cooper right now. He did a fantastic performance with the Maestro. He did so much planning, did so much with it, and he's got nothing at the Oscars for that at all. So if you want to feel bad about Into the Spider-Verse, just thinking about Bradley Cooper. But overall, I think the Oscars was a good experience. There was a lot of laughs, animation, presentation, jokes. I think a couple of jokes Jimmy Kimmel made were a bit like, were a bit off or a little bit weird. That was probably the other thing. A couple of jokes with RDJ, I was like, huh, okay. Each their own, you know, whatever. But that was a little bit weird. But everything else was pretty good, and you know, nothing with Will Smith and Chris Rock. So that's always a win. Now let's get into Halo. Halo, where we only have 2 episodes left. Now, as you all know, I've been absolutely critical about Halo every single week, and I've had people comment going to me and going, oh, you know, if you don't like it, why are you watching it? I'm like, I like elements of it. I like what it could be. And I watch this, and it's almost infuriating to watch, because you think, wow, you know, they could have done this better. They could have done that better. They could have done this better. They could have done that. But no, we're going into this. Now, look, this episode, Onyx, had a great opening. I love the simulation scenes with Perez. I thought that was cool as shit with all the recruits. That was cool. Very video game-like. I like that. And I did like the episode, how the fact that Perez versus Kai going on about it. We get a lot of Kai in this episode. We find out that she finds out what happened with Reach, which elevates everything. She versus Master Chief. Oh my God. Spoilers, left, right, and center for this. And you know, she also versus Master Chief, which becomes very brutal. And it's, you knew it was coming. And we know Halsey's trying to find an exit of the planet. She bumps into her daughter Miranda, which finally appears after 5 episodes. McKee also has a bit of a struggle between the Arbiter and the Priest, and Cortana is technically playing multiple sides, and it plays in more to the fact that Reach was just totally planned, and it was going to happen. Cortana obviously knew as well. Cortana's still trying to help Master Chief get to the Halo before the Covenant, and he still doesn't have his armor. And here's the thing, is I had a comment. It's like, how could someone steal his armor? It's over 2,000 pounds. I'm like, well, if you watch the show, you'd find out the fact how he got stolen was the fact that it was on a ship and they took it with them with the rest of the armor. And that's why his entire team got murdered. Well, one of his team got murdered. One of his teams retired. One of his team members, Kai, was currently playing both sides at the moment. And we did get a Snapchat for next week's episode, which looks like the tensions are rising to get ready for the final. And we finally see, after 4 episodes, we finally get a glimpse of his armor again. Which, again, looks like he's not going to put on the armor until the very last episode. So that's not a spoiling warning. That is a premonition, prediction, whatever you want to throw at that. So I found this episode good. I thought it was keeping everything. It was just good seeing again more the military. And again, I do not give a shit about Quan. I do not care about Quan, and you know, more about her story, about going into that. I was like, I don't care. Like, I really hope if this season gets an episode 3, they get rid of the whole Quan story. Like, no one is asking for more. No one gives a shit about a story. No one cares. Just focus on Master Chief and what's happening around him. And that's the whole bloody point. That's what infuriates me about this show and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, Kai's also training the next generation to Spartans, which potentially have been lied to on how easy it is to kill the Covenant, which could lead into a giant mess, which looks like it's in the next episode. But can't believe that we're also coming to the end of Halo. Only 2 more weeks left, and we're also going to be in that time next week. This week we've also got Invincible Season 2, so we're going to be reviewing both at the same time. And yes, what do you think about so far, you know, it's got elements I like. You know, characters returning. Halsey's going to have a great time telling Miranda that her father is dead and what happened with Reach. That's going to be a whole thing. But again, you find out more Reach is more of an inside job and what's happening. And then right as the episode ends, Master Chief and McKee both touch the artifacts. And remember what happened last time? It technically took them to Halo very briefly. So I think this will give them more a view of the direction. So it's direction of getting to Halo. So this is really leading to the fact that season 3 will be just a race to Halo and be the launching point exactly into the first Halo game. My curiosity is, Master Chief has gone against UNSC military. So how is he going to become the hero and part of the military again when he's just been going against them the whole time? And you obviously know people higher up are corrupt. Someone has to, a new character has to swarm in and of a higher power and take control or something, because it's going to be such a weird thing. The fact that he's going to go join them. He's going to rejoin them in the support of the UNC, support humanity, and they're going to trust him again. And I don't know how much is going to be lied to. So how is that all going to come into this factor? And again, you know, I do find that with Halo, the CGI, the production is still top notch in that sense. Now, everything on that scale is great. It's just the story that's the most infuriating part. To watch everything around it. Like, you know, Pablo is doing a great job for with what he has, you know, and the fight scenes are great, you know, and the first episode when he was fighting, you know, the elites, you know, and all the energy blades, that was great. Battle on Reach, it's like a earthquake. I can't remember what it's called. It tracks earthquakes that happens. And it's just going up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That is exactly how the storyline of Halo season 1, season 2 is. But I will have to say one thing is that probably compared to the first season, there's a bit more action and less Quan, which is good, but we need that little bit more of less Quan. But again, solid episode. I'm semi-liking where this is going. The last two episodes look like they're going to be an absolute banger. But again, it's going to be another 2 years until we get Halo Season 3, which will be the big one. Season 3 of Halo has not been greenlit at the moment, or no announcement, so we'll have to wait until the last episode and see what that's going to lead to, but that is around the corner. But again, I always want to know, what did you think about the last episode? What have you thought about Halo so far? Is it, are you enjoying it? It's kind of set in a different universe. What do you think about the whole thing with Kai, Miranda, and what's your predictions for the final? Because it is right around the corner. Now, I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone who's come past for this episode. Everyone's coming to lives, everybody. It's been fantastic. And as always, until next time, happy ranting.
Thanks for listening to Lights, Camera, Rant. If you like the show, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. While you're at it, leave us a rating and review, and be sure to tell your friends. Until next time, happy ranting.